You are listening to the Passion City Church podcast. To learn more about Passion City Church, including our gathering times in Atlanta and Washington, D.C., visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com.
I'm excited about the message that I think God has for us tonight, and it's really a simple idea. And the idea is this, that we have the answer that all of humanity is looking for. All of humanity, including you and including me, is looking for something. Everyone is searching high and low for something. And we're going to open God's word today and hopefully be pointed to what that is and be encouraged in that. So let's pray together. Jesus, some of us have done church a million times. We've come to so many of these that we've begun to put expectations on what is possible to happen at a night like this. Tonight, God, I pray that you would break through our small expectations. God, I pray that you will have your way in this space over these next few minutes. I pray that every single person in this room would take a step with you tonight. God, nobody came here to hear from anybody besides you. Nobody can help anybody here besides you. And so I ask you, God, I'm depending on you, Holy Spirit, to come and to point people to Jesus in a way that will help them find the very thing that they're looking for. We love you and we worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Have you ever said to yourself, if I could just have blank, then I would be happy? Anybody, just quick poll. If I could just have X, then I would be happy. I was thinking this week over a lot of the times in my life when I have said that, starting all the way back when I was an elementary school person. If I could just get, you know, that, we were a family that when we went to the pool, we brought our own snacks. We weren't the family that came to the pool and we were going to buy the pool snacks because the markup was a little bit too much for my dad to handle. And so we were the, we're going to bring our own snack family. And I remember all my friends, you know, it just had such better snacks at the pool. And I remember thinking, God, man, if I could ever just get the pool ice cream, God, I'd never ask you for anything again. I can remember being in sixth grade and I had transferred to a new school and I saw this girl come down the hallway at my new middle school and I said to myself, God, if you could give me her, I will never ask you for anything again. I know it's a lot of college people in here tonight and you've said that a lot, and same for you high schoolers over there. God, if you could just give me him or just give me her, I promise you, I'll go to Myanmar, I'll go to Africa, I'll do whatever you want me to do if you'll just give me him. Then you come back to church a few months later and you're like, thank you, God, that you did not give me him or her. I'm just praising you that you know everything from before the foundations of the earth. Maybe for you it's a car or something like that. Maybe for you it's, if I could just graduate. Any seniors on the multi-victory lap tour, if I could just graduate, then I would be happy. If I could just get this amount of money, then I would be happy. Maybe you don't say it like that, but all of us have got to a place in life where we live like that. Maybe you didn't tell your spouse that, but all of us have thought to ourselves, if I could just live in that neighborhood, then I would be happy. If I could just get this promotion, then I would be satisfied. And it's a problem inside of us because what has happened is some of us eventually get to those things, and when we get there, we realize that the thing that we thought would fulfill us didn't. And I can remember being a college student, for me, a person who wasn't following Jesus, had heard the story about who he was, kind of knew the story a little bit, but all of my identity had been stripped away from me, and I was just searching for some sense of worth again, and I would climb up one mountain and go, if I could just get to the top of this mountain, I'd be satisfied. I'd be happy. And then I'd get to the top of that mountain only to see another mountain and think to myself, that one's a little bit higher. If I can only get to the top of that one, then I would be happy. The problem is that the things that we think can satisfy us don't. And we live in a perpetual state of, if I could just get the next thing, if I could just get the add-on, if I could just get the addition, if I could just get this plus this, then I would really be happy. But all of us know what it's like to get there and to even have expectation of how great it will be, only to find that you're no different then than you were when you asked for it. Because all of us, all of humanity, is searching for something. And I love that the scripture, the whole story of scripture, is pointing us towards that answer. I want to look two places tonight and plant there. One is found in John chapter 4. If you have a Bible and you want to turn there, that would be awesome. It's going to be on the screen as well. But both of these stories, I believe, are helping us find what is the thing, what is going to fill the hole in our heart that all of us have. Both of these stories include water, which is really interesting. In me studying for this Sunday, I found that the Bible talks about water over 700 times. 700 times, that's a lot of times. You know why? This is deep. Because we need it. Don't you know you need water? Anybody ever tried to go a few days without water? Is there anybody in here that just doesn't like water? Can all of us raise our hands together? I married into a family that is very dependent on water. My wife, every night, has to have a large glass of water by the bed, and I'm like, is there going to be an exercise? Is there, I'm not sure, because I'm just going to sleep, and I'm going to be resting, and when I wake up tomorrow, and it's like clockwork. She cannot sleep without a glass of water, and somehow when you wake up the next morning, the water is gone, and I'm like, what? How did that even happen? I don't like water, but I know that I need it. Your body can go longer without food than it can go without water. We're dependent on it. And so I think it's interesting that the scripture uses the illustration of water all throughout its story. But the first text is found in John chapter 4. I said all that so that you could find John 4. So if you hadn't found it by now, I would recommend the screen. Starting in chapter 4, verse number 4, here's where we'll pick up the story. Jesus has just been in Judea, and he's leaving, going again to Galilee. And here's where we'll pick it up. Now he had to go through Samaria, Jesus. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the long journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. I love that it says it was about noon. It has implications later in the story, but it's also important to note that there are no throwaway sentences in the Bible. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman came to him and said, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her and said this, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who has given us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." This is an amazing story. You see, what's incredible is there's these major undertones and implications in this story that when you dig into it, you just start finding more things about how amazing this text really is. Like, for instance, some of you know this by now, but Jews and Samaritans hated each other. And so it's even hinted at in the text, but it's like, hey, a Jewish man would never talk to a Samaritan woman. What are you doing talking to me? But it also, you know, the throwaway sentence of it was about noon tells us a lot about the story, because the women in this day would have gone to the well to get the water, the supply for the rest of the day. They would have gone in groups, and they would have gone in the morning early, or they would have gone later in the evening because it was cooler. They wouldn't be in the middle of the day in the heat of the day. And so Jesus, when he finds this woman at the well, it's noon. In the hottest hours of the day. And she doesn't have her crew with her, she's by herself. And so it makes you start asking questions. Why was she by herself? Why wasn't she with a crew of women, as was the custom in the day? And why is she here at 12 o'clock and not at 8 o'clock? The reason why is because it was intentional that she wanted nobody to see her. Because as the story plays out, what you find is that the woman had a hole that she had been trying to fill in her heart, the same way you do and the same way I do. And so I love when Jesus first encounters her and he says, you would have asked me for water. And the girl, you ever talk to somebody and you're talking about one thing, but you're not really like explicitly saying one thing, and you would just think that like, hey, a normal human being is going to understand that I'm hinting at something else, but they just don't get it. And you have the whole conversation, and then you talk to somebody afterwards, like, how'd it go? It's like, I don't think they understood what I was saying at all. That's kind of what's happening here, because Jesus is going, the woman thinks he's talking about like water. Like Dasani bottled water. And she goes to him, she says back to him when he says, you would have asked me for a drink and I would give you living water. And she goes, you don't even have any like instrument to draw the well from. Like, where's your little bucket? We're gonna tie it onto the rope and we're gonna put it down. You're gonna get the water and bring it back up. You don't even have any like tools to get the water. How are you gonna give me water? And Jesus responds later in this text and he says to her to go and get her husband. As a way to just like prod right where you don't want to be. You know that thing you got in your life that you don't want anybody to talk about? I think it's encouraging that Jesus knows about it. So if you've got something that you think you've hidden from God, you didn't. He knows about it. And he says to her, why don't you go and get your husband? And she says back to him, I don't have a husband. Like, let's see how smart you really are. And he says, you're right when you say that you don't have a husband. In fact, you've had five husbands, and the man you're living with right now, he ain't even your husband. And her response is epic. She goes, I can see that you're a prophet. Why did Jesus say that? Why do you bring up the husbands? He's talking about living water. So why bring up the fact that she has five husbands? I think that he brought it up for this reason, because the imagery of water in Scripture is twofold. You do need water, like sustenance physically, for you to live. But there's another kind of water that Jesus refers to as living water. And it's to feed you spiritually, to nourish you spiritually. And so when she thinks he's talking about physical water, Jesus goes, I need to help her see that she needs spiritual water. I need to help her see that she has a need. And so he goes, let's see, what am I going to say to her? How about the husband thing? Go get your husband. Let's bring that up. And when you see this woman, you get this picture of this idea of, if I could just get this, then I would be satisfied. If I could just get the husband I'd always been thinking I would get, I'd be satisfied. Strike one, didn't get him. Well, I got the first one wrong. If I could just get the husband I've been looking for, then I'd be satisfied. Then I'd be happy. How about number two? Nope, didn't work. How about number three? Nope. How about number four? Nope. How about number five? Nope. And then Jesus goes, how about the clown that's at your house right now? Nope, he ain't gonna work either. What you're looking for can't be found in the place in which you're looking for it. The part of your heart that's thinking about the next thing. If I could just get this, if I could just get that, if I could get here, if I could get there, if I could get this, if I could get there, I'd be satisfied. And Jesus is going, no. You've already tried that 5 times and it didn't work. You need more than that. You need living water. And the water that I will give you, listen to what Jesus says. Listen to this imagery. He says, if you drink from the water that I give you, you will never thirst again. So think about in the beginning when I said, if I could just have this, then I'd be happy. Some of you have got this and you were happy for a while, right? Some of you got the girl and it went great for your junior year. And then the camp thing happened. I'm like speaking to somebody, I don't know who it is. Access is gonna be open afterwards. And then the camp thing happened, and then what? Then it wasn't going so well anymore, right? Because there is temporary satisfaction, but your heart isn't after temporary satisfaction. In fact, it's worn out from temporary satisfaction. Your heart is going, I am tired of being fed things that are only going to last months. I'm tired of this thing inside of me that wants to be filled. I'm tired of you just like putting in some change and going, this ought to get you till next year. There's something better than that. And it's what this whole story is about. And this idea of the woman maybe looking in 5 different places for 5 different men, if I could get that, then I would be happy. It's not a new concept. In fact, I believe it's at the root of all of our sin. Is this idea that we need something in addition to God. I got him. Yeah, it was great. Met him in 7th grade. We're cool. But it doesn't take you long after you've met him to go, yeah, I got him. Now I'd like him and this. And God's going, no. It doesn't work like that. I'm living water. It says if you drink the water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. So if it's temporary, then I want to have a conversation about what you got. Because God isn't temporary. And his satisfaction isn't temporary. It's eternal. This is, you know, when sin began, Genesis chapter 3, the beginning of our story. What happened? You had Adam and Eve walking in the cool of the garden in absolute perfection. Nobody could want anything extra. And then the enemy comes, and what does he do? He just whispers, hey, there's a way for you to have it better than you have right now. It's possible for this to get better. I know you got God. That's great. But what about this? What if you could be in relationship with God and know what God knows? How about that? See, that's the root. That's what's underneath all of our sin. And it's been written about all throughout the scripture. God's people have always been doing that. If you look in the Old Testament in the prophet of Jeremiah, it's the longest of the prophets. There's this amazing text. The idea, the context of where we find this scripture is God has faithfully brought all of his people, the Israelites, out of captivity on a long journey. And he's finally got them to the promised land. He's got them to the place that he had said, I will take you here. And they got there and everything was great. Everybody was happy for a minute. And then they started to think, this is all great, but what if I could get this and this? And I want to pick up in this story, Jeremiah chapter 2, starting in verse 1. It says this, the word of the Lord came to me, go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says. I remember the devotion of your youth, how as a bride you loved me and followed me through the wilderness, through a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. So He starts off this text through the prophet Jeremiah and he's saying, do you remember how good I have been to you? Like, let's hit the rewind button. This thing worked out pretty good for y'all. Like, do you remember how faithful I have been to you? That's where it starts. And then listen to the follow-up language later on. He says this, "What fault did your ancestors find in me that they strayed so far from me?" God's saying, we had it so good. We had this great relationship. I had been coming through. I took you to the place I told you I was going to take you. So what fault did anybody find in me for you guys to all go start looking for something else? What did I do wrong? Why did everybody start looking for in addition to me? You already had me, and I was faithful. And I think that exists today. I think it exists here. The reason why is because it's existed in me. This idea of the faithfulness of God and then my sinful nature eventually going, is there a way for me to get better than this? I know he's been good to me, and that's awesome. But I've been walking with him now for a few years, and I don't know. I like to, culture tells us to keep our options open. I'm just wondering, is there any way to get better than this out here? I'm just going to scope it out, do some window shopping. And that's what he's saying here in Jeremiah. And then listen to this. This is where I want us to anchor in for a second. Verses 12 and 13, he says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Now we're back to the water. In the imagery here is amazing. These people would have understood it because what would happen in the day is people would, by their house, they would dig out these giant cisterns. Like God had provided for them all throughout the wilderness, all out of captivity to eventually get them to the promised land. But what happened is people began to doubt, will he come through for us again? So what would they do? They started to craft their backup plan. I'm going to dig for myself this own cistern and all the rainwater will fall into it. And so if God doesn't come through, then I'll just rely on my cistern. And God is saying, you've committed two sins. One, you turned your back on me. You've forsaken me. The spring of living water is what he says. You chose yourself over me. And then the second part, he says this, and you replaced me with something. You replaced me with something that doesn't even work. You replaced me with a cistern because you thought maybe it could be a reservoir that could hold all of your water. And then you began to trust in what you had built with your own hands, as though the hand that had been faithful to you was somehow no longer going to be faithful to you. So now you had to take it into your own hands. And since the beginning of time, humanity has wrestled with the idea of, though God has been faithful, I may trust more what I can build with my own hands. And so they began to dig their own cisterns, and God saying, he says, they're broken cisterns. They don't even hold any water. You're putting all your hope in something that holds nothing. And this text was a huge part of my journey to coming to Jesus. Why? Because I know what it's like to fill up a broken cistern. That's why. And I would imagine that most of you do too. I know what it's like to think something can satisfy, to put all my hope and all my effort and all my energy into that thing, only to eventually realize that there is no satisfaction to be had there. Why? Because the cistern is broken. If you build it with your hands, it's broken. If humanity crafted it, it's broken. Why? Because we're broken. That's why. And so I wonder tonight, as you think about this, what is it for you that you have been tempted to substitute for God? Like, what is the addition that you have in your mind? If I could have God plus this, then I would be happy. And I think what God wants to say tonight is, no, I alone will make you happy. It's not me plus anything. It's me plus nothing. That's what will make you happy. That's where satisfaction is found. The way that John Calvin said it is this. He said, all of our hearts are idol factories. And that's been true in my own life. I tend to have to put checkpoints in my life to ensure that I'm not depending on something that I built with my own hands. And that I will continue to trust the hand that brought me from where I was to where I am will be the same hand that will lead me from where I am to where I'm going. And you can't let the enemy whisper into your ear, there's something better than what you have. I know you go to church on Sunday, and you can still do that. But what if you went to this on Friday and church on Sunday? Then you'd really be happy. I would imagine we could find plenty of people in this room that would stand up here and tell you, no, it won't. Know why? Been there. Know what's at the bottom? A crack. Know if it holds anything? Nope. I was actually more empty at the end than I was at the beginning. It's this picture, and I don't know what cisterns you have in your life. I know that in 2018, one of them easily could be your image. If I could just get this reputation, if I could get into this zone, if I get this many followers, then I'd be happy. Then I'd feel like I mattered. Then I'd feel like I was somebody. Then I'd feel like I could do something. And so what do? You spend all your time, effort, energy, hope, desire, brain power going, all right, I'm going to take everything I've got and I'm going to start pouring it into my image. Isn't that awesome? Look, we're just trying to do our very best. And I think what I want you to see tonight is this. You can put in as much as you want. And it may last you a little while. Newsflash. I'm sure you get a blue check by your Instagram, that probably gonna feel good for a few days. But it isn't gonna last. You know why? Because it's cracked. That's why. Maybe for you it's a relationship. If I could just get her to say yes, if I could just get them to say yes, if I could just marry her, if I could just marry him, then all these problems would go away and I would be satisfied. So what do? You start crafting your plan. You start figuring it out. You start going, okay, here we go, here we go. We're gonna go to a good date spot. I'm gonna spend more money than I spent on the last one. This thing is gonna work. Only to find that at the end of the day, what all your time, effort, energy, hope, and desire you thought was going to satisfy you left you as empty as it was when you started. Why? Because it's cracked. Because you built it. That's why. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's acceptance. Maybe it's it could be any list of things that you have in your brain. Maybe it's a degree. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. And maybe. And I'm gonna put all my hope and energy and as much time as you spend trying to pour your effort into it, at the end of the day, there's nothing left in it. And all of you know what it feels like to be exhausted because you spent all of your time putting it into something that you thought would give you one result, and at the end of the day, it gave you no result. Your image on social media will not make you matter. It will not. Your bank account will not satisfy you. It won't. You're like, how do you know? Because for 2,000 years, people have been putting stuff in those cisterns and none of them have any water left in them. That's how I know. Every single one of you knows somebody who turned to alcohol, don't you? And at the end of the day, the last sip, they were no better than they were on the first sip. Everybody knows somebody who's turned to pills. Well, guess what? The final pill, you're no better off than you were when you opened the bottle. You're no happier when you buy the lake house than you were when you bought your first house. Why? Because it's cracked and it holds no water. That's why. And Jesus is saying today, it is time for you to stop putting all your hope and all your effort and all your energy in searching day and night to find what will fill your heart. You're searching for it in something that will only be temporary at best, if it works at all. And he's saying, I got another option. How about you put it here? Woman at the well, husband number one, no. Two, no. Three, no. Four, no. Five, no. Joker at home, no. But what does he say? He says, if you drink the water that I give you, what? Not next year you will thirst again. Not after this date you'll be thirsty again. He says what? He says, if you drink the water I give you, you will never thirst again. There isn't a chink in the bottom. There is no chip. There is no hole. There is no leak. There is nothing. Why? Because I can satisfy. And for 2,000 years, everybody's been trying to be satisfied in these same things. And guess what? It has never worked. It's never worked. There isn't a certain number of relationships. If I could just get this, if I could get her to say yes, if I could cross over these lines with that person, if I could do this, then I'll be happy. Guess what? Newsflash. All of us know somebody who at the end of that felt no more accepted than they did at the beginning. Why? Because it's cracked and it holds no water. And it's ultimately not what you're looking for. You're looking for acceptance? I know where to find it. You're looking for worth? I know where to find it. You want to matter? I know where to find it. It's not in any of these things. It's not in how many followers you have. It's not in your boyfriend or girlfriend. It's not in the size of your lake house. It's not in any of that. If you're looking to be satisfied, there is only one place that you can turn. You want to know where it is? It's found in the name, and his name is Jesus Christ. And if you will come to him, golly, I wish I would have heard this earlier in my life. If you'll come to him, you can stop looking for the next thing. Why? Because you're not going to be thirsty again. He can satisfy, not for a month, but for eternity. And because of his willingness to lay down his life, to pay for our sin, now we can come. The scripture says in the book of Isaiah 55, and we'll close with this, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Listen to what he says. Why spend money on what is not bread and labor all day for what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will find delight in the richest of fare. If you're hungry, if you're thirsty, if you're looking for what should go in the blank, if I could just find him, then I would be happy. Then I would be satisfied. Then my soul could rest. And he's here tonight with arms open, saying, if you want to come, then come. If you're tired and exhausted from filling up all the things you've made with your own hands, then come. If you've walked with me for a while and eventually turned your back away, put me on the back burner and thought something else could make you happy, then I'm still here. Yeah. Jeremiah chapter 2, it says that the first sin they committed was this: they had forsaken God. But you know what the scripture says on God's part? It says that he will never leave or forsake you. So you can come tonight. You can fill the hole that you can't seem to get to go away. And you can fill it with a name that will never leave you thirsty again. Let's pray together.
If you are encouraged by today's talk and believe it would be uplifting to others, then be sure to rate us and hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. To experience other talks, videos, and live gatherings, visit us online at PassionCityChurch.com or download the Passion Movement app. And again, thanks for listening to the Passion City Church podcast.